Okay, Boker Tov world. So we're in the middle of this pretty incredible sugya over here, in which we have four different limudim, and we want to find out what the din is each one of those limudim. What would be the din if they would be coming to be malamed with another limud, bekachim? So that means we have to go through every single one of them. So we've talked about a few of them so far. And our main focus has been on the Hekesh, in which we were learning, we had the machlokas between Rava and Ravina about the idea of Ein Lemeidin Hekesh Mi Hekesh and how we know that. And we had the beautiful limud yesterday, according to Ravina, the fact that the Torah had to tell us that the Arsha Moshechted at the place, both of the Chatas and the Eila, which makes no sense. I mean, you could tell me one or the other. Tells me both in order to know that if I had only known the Chatas, then I wouldn't have been able to derive from Chatas, which itself was only known from a Hekesh to Ela. I wouldn't have been able to then take that Hekesh and learn it to another Hekesh, to the din of Asham. And therefore, the Torah specifically went out of its way to write Chatas and Ela, so that we would understand that Ela is the real Mokar. We cannot learn it from the Chatas. That was the first approach. It was Ravina's approach. And Rav's approach was the fact that it says, Kasher Yuram Mishor Zevach HaShalamim. And it says this by the Par Halam Dover, by the Par Kohen Mashiach, to teach me to the Par Halam Dover Shel Tzibur, in order that the Par Halam Dover Shel Tzibur should be able to teach to the Seirei Avodes Kochavim. Because otherwise, we would say, well, we only know the din of Par Halam Dover Shel Tzibur in terms of which Emurim to bring, because it says, V'yasar Kasher Asah. So we learn out the Par Halam Dover Shel Tzibur from the Par of the Kohen Mashiach. So how can we then learn from the Par Halam Dover to tell me the halacha of Seirei Avodes Kochavim? So the Torah went out of its way to, instead of doing the obvious thing, which would be to say the halacha directly in the parsha of the Par Halam Dover Shel Tzibur, instead of doing that, it does the most ridiculous thing. The Pasuk writes a din that is unnecessary and repetitive in the context of the Par Kohen Mashiach to tell me, after listing all of the Emurim, to tell me, Kasher Asah LaPar, to the Zevach HaShlamim, in order for me to have it, Ki'ilu, it said in the Par Halam Dover Shel Tzibur, which then allows me to use the Par Halam Dover Shel Tzibur to teach Seirei Avodes Kochavim. So that's obviously only there to teach me that I have no choice but to have an additional strengthening of the limud, because I wouldn't be able to learn out a hekesh from a hekesh direct. Okay, that's where we had begun. And then we wanted to know the next idea was, do we have the right? Now, remember, we're going to be going through all of the limudim. So we've got four limudim we've got to worry about. We've got the Hekesh, we've got the Gzeres Shava, we've got the Kal Vachomer, and we've got the Mametzino, which is the idea of a Binyan Av. So that means we've got four possibilities, which gives us 16 possible combinations. And we're going to have to go through each one of those combinations. So maybe it's kedai to take a piece of paper and start writing them down, because it gets a little bit confusing, especially when we're going to be referring to each one of these limudim by the names of the individuals who said them. So that can definitely get a little bit confusing. So I would suggest you write down Hekesh with an arrow to Hekesh, and then you put Ein, and then you put the Makor, either Ravina or Rava, as we just learned. Ravina about Hakatat Olam, and Rava, Kasher Yuram Mishor Zevach HaShlamim. The next thing that we wanted to know yesterday was Hekesh, arrow, to Gezerah Shava, through a Gezerah Shava. So we wanted to know, would we be able to learn a Dover Lomit B'Hekesh, Maushi Lomit B'Gezerah Shava? And that got us into a further a complication, because we wanted to learn it out of Karachat Vigabachat, first Karachat Vigabachat Vigabadim. And remember that we then said That is irrelevant. So this is important to set up right at the beginning. The din of ein lamedim lomad min alamad is limited only to kachim, and it's irrelevant to things like tzaras, which would, of course, mimalamid min alamad. So we needed to go look for the raya, and Rabbi Yochanan was the one who brought us the raya because of the fact that tzofein, that was said by the din of an asham, was not really important, because I could have learned it out from a gezeirah shavah that was mufna, meaning kodesh kodashim, that the Torah repeats again and again. I could have learned out the gezeirah shavah to asham from chatas, but the problem is I only knew chatas from ayla, and therefore the Torah had to repeat it, because I wouldn't have been able to have learned out the din of tzofein by an asham through a gezeirah shavah to other kachim, because those kodesh kodashim that is said by chatas is itself only learned out from a hekesh from ayla. So therefore the answer to that is no. You cannot learn a dovar lamed behekesh to a gezeirah shavah. The next case, and that's where we're holding today, is right at the bottom of Mem Tet Amud Beit, and that's the third question out of the 16. Dovra Lamed Be'ekesh, can it be Chozer Malamed Be'kav V'chomer? Yes, it can. How do we know something learned with the Hekesh arrow to Kav V'chomer? Well, we had that before. Remember that the Tana Devei Reb Yishmael made this unbelievable kalvachomer between the parvaser of Yom HaKippurim, which are given the same din, even though they are completely different animals, and he learned out that since that's true, then that means that the idea of the learning out from the par of the Kohen Gadol and the soyer of the Yom HaKippurim. So he wanted to say that there's definitely a kal v'chomer that if you have the same kind of carbon, namely you have a soyer on Yom Kippur and you have a soyer on the par v'soyer for Yom HaKippurim, sorry, for Avodah Zarah, so it's the same animal, so kosher cane, it would have the same dinim. The problem is that we had originally only learnt the halacha of the din of the chatas, but out of the Kohen Gadol, remember, the par Kohen Gadol, and the par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. So to be able to establish that that's a kal v'chomer that we could learn from the soyer there to the soyer of Yom HaKippurim, that is very much a hekesh from the word chatas that we had that was true about the soyer of Avodas Kechavim and the sort of Yom HaKippurim, since they are the same animal. So it's a kal v'chomer. So obviously, he relied on that kal v'chomer to learn something that we had only known from the hekesh of the par ha-chatat, which is this Yom HaKippurim, which is the Seire of Avodah Zarah, which had been learned out ultimately from the par Kohen Mashiach. So that means the original hekesh, par Kohen Mashiach, was able to teach now with a kal v'chomer. Yeah, that's Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, that's number three. Number four, the last question about hekesh. Can a hekesh turn around and teach us the din of a domer alomad behekesh? Can it teach us a din through a binyan av? Would it be able to teach us ma matzinu be'ex, so too matzinu be'y? What's that halacha? Omar of Yirmiya, well, if we wouldn't have written Tzofein by the din of Asham, couldn't we have learnt out that din from a binyan av, from a chatas? And yet the fact is that we had to have a special pasuk that told me that there is a din of Tzofein by Asham. Why is that? The only point would be, I think, lav l'memra, the davar alav v'hekesh, enu chosim alam v'binyan av. If I could have learned it out from a simple binyan av to from chatos to asham, why would the Torah have needed to repeat the din of tzofein by the asham that we went through yesterday with so painstakingly? Must be that you cannot use a hekesh to then proceed and learn from a binyan av. Not necessarily. I mean, because look, if you believe that we could learn from Abinyanov, then why can't we learn it out from Abinyanov from Ohla directly? Why did we have to go to the Chatas and make it from a Chatas, which itself was known from a Hekesh? Because obviously you understood that you can't use Abinyanov from Ohla because it doesn't make sense. The Taimich, according to what you're saying now, why did you understand that you cannot learn it out from the Ohla? My time aloyasi, because you recognized the ikala mifrach mala oila shekain kolil. An oila can't be a proper limud for a binyanav, because it's there. Oila is different, an oila is kolil, alam is beyach. Therefore, the Torah is more makbid on it that we should need tzofain. So, but the same thing is true of chatas. If you're going to try to learn it from chatas, I'll tell you, listen, chatas is more chomer. And maybe that's why it needs tzofain. Shekain mechaperta chayve kritot. So this is no raya. So therefore, I have no idea that anywhere the Torah says you cannot use a binyan av from something that itself was learned from the Hekesh. Now the question is, the next piece is a little bit confusing, because the way that we have Rashi over here is that what we're about to learn is not directly nogea the issue that we just brought up. It's not directly nogea the binyan av from Hekesh, but just once we read the question about tzofein on the chatas, we're looking to figure out why we couldn't have known it from a mahatzat, which is a type of variation of the binyan av. So cholam hichadu lo atya, why couldn't we learn out any one from any of the other two? So we have a din that applies to Asham, Chatas, and Oila, right? Why did the Torah, in fact, need to write all three? Now, the reason that Rashi says this is not relevant is because we're bringing up all three, which, of course, is just a general question, a logical question. Let the Torah write the din of Tzofein in two out of the three, and we would be able to learn the third out of the first two. So, which one should we use? Let's say if the Torah had not said Ola. Right now, the only place the Torah said was Ola. Let's say the Torah didn't say Ola. And it would have told us the halacha of Tzofein in the Korban Chatas and the Korban Asham. So that seems to be a good way to learn it, because it would be a Kavach Omer that the Ola, after all, is Kolil and deserves to be treated with great Chumrah. It wouldn't be good, because I'd say the common denominator is that Chatas and Asham are mechaperim. It's true that an Asham can be mechaper, not only on Chayvei Krisos, but look, they're general mechaperim. If you compare that to the Ola, which is only a kapora and a mitzvah saseh that you miss doing, I mean, that's not really called kapora. That is, as we were medayik in Hilchas Teshuva, if you recall, that on a mitzvah aseh, where someone does tshuva, einu zoz b'sham, ad shemochalim lo, the mechila is the kapora, and therefore there's no technical kapora. So when it comes to the eila, we're not looking at a mechaper, at least relative to a chatas and an asham. So that doesn't make sense. All right. So let's say the Torah wouldn't have written tzofein in chatas. Can't I learn out chatas from the combination of eila and asham? No. Because they have a common denominator that they require zachrus. They're only male. Bal she'en kene chatas, there's chatos that are the normal chatas for a yachid is female. So maybe we're not as machmir. And let it not say it in asham, and then we would be able to learn it out from Ola and chatas. No. Because we'd say, what? Mala chatas, because it's mechaper chayve krisis. Ola yachia. But there is a common denominator. The common denominator is that both an Ola and a Chatas are brought also for a Tzibur. There's nowhere that a Tzibur brings an Asham. So therefore, maybe the Asham is not as Chomer because it isn't something that can be used for a Tzibur. Therefore, I need to have all three. So that means that meanwhile, we do not have any Mokar for the din of Hekesh being melamed in a binyan av, emamitzino. Now, let's move on to the second set. The second set is the four variations of a davar that's lamad with a gzeira shava. So we start with a gzeira shava. Can something that is known through a gzeira shava teach a halacha out through a hekesh? Omer, if Papa, I'll prove to you from Vizot Torat Zevach Hashlamim, Im Al Toda Yakrivenu. So now, what does this tell me? That the dinim of Shlomim and Teda are Mukashim Zelezet. Zevach Hashlamim, Im Al Toda. So that teaches us that in the same way that Shlomim can be brought from money of Maisa Sheni, so too can a Toda be brought from money of Maisa Sheni. So generally, if you're going to bring a carbon, if you've already made this chiyuv on yourself for the carbon, you cannot use money except complete chulin money. You can't use Maisa Sheni. But if you want to take Maisa Sheni money and say, this money should be for my carbon shlamim, you can do that. And then the same way, as we're going to prove, in the same way that you can make a shlamim from your Meiser Sheni money, you can make a Toda from your Meiser Sheni money, because there's a hekesh between shlamim and Toda. Now, how do we know that shlamim itself can be brought from Meiser Sheni? Well, shlamim gufayu minolan. Ah, fascinating. The only way we know it is from, a gzeira shava. So that means we're taking the gzeira shava and we're using it to teach us something through a hekesh. What's the gzeira shava? When it comes to bringing your carbon shlamim, it says, v'zavachta shlamim v'achalta sham. In the mokum that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen, you have to eat it in the Beis HaMikdash. This in Yerushalayim it's talking about, v'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha, and so on and so forth. But it also says, "Benagei Meiser Sheni, v'achalta lifnei Hashem Elokecha b'makom asher yivchal shaken shmo sham maaser degancha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha." So what do you see? You can use that sham, which means Meiser Sheni, and apply it to this sham, which means shlamim, and then from that apply the din of shlamim to Toda, which is learned through the hekesh of imal Toda to shlamim. So you see very clearly that the Gezeira Shava of Sham Sham can actually teach to a Hekesh. Amalei Mar Zutra, Breiter of Mar Ravina. How does this prove anything? Meiser, what is the Mokar of the Halacha that you're proving from? Meiser Sheni. Meiser Sheni is in Kachim. Didn't we learn yesterday that only Kodesh is a problem of Lamad Min HaLamad? And now you're telling me that applying a din of Meiser Sheni, which is not Kodesh, that's a din in Chulin. So what does this have to do with my question? My question was, can you apply a Lamad Min HaLamad of type 5, which is the Gzeira Shava that is being applied now through a Hekesh, and you bring me a Raya from Chulin? How do you explain that? This is Meiser Dagan is Chulin B'Alma. So what does this have to do with anything? Oh, my life, so Ravina said to Mar Zutra, I mean, come on, it's true, I understand. Rav Yochanan did say that we're only talking about the problem of a lamad min halamad bin Ergea Kachim, but did he say that you need both the lamad to be Kodesh and the malamed to be Kodesh for it to be a problem? Omar Amra, lamed Kodesh or malamed Kodesh? No. The truth is that as long as the lamad is Kodesh, which is true over here, the Lamad is from Meiser Dagan to Shlamim, which is Kodesh. So basically, you go according to the Lamad, and the Lamad is Kodesh. So who cares whether I learn it out from the Malamed, which is Chulin? All that I need to worry about is that the thing that I'm learning it out to, which is Shlamim and Teda, both of those derivative cases are Kodesh. Therefore, I gave you a perfectly beautiful raya. Okay, so then that means it's really a machlokas between Ravina and Mar Zutra. And as Rashi points out, this is the makar of our earlier question of whether bata lamed azlinan or bata melamed azlinan. So clearly, what Rav Papa was saying, and as Ravina pointed out to Mar Zutra, is that you go according to the thing that you derived, the lamad, Whereas Marzutra said, you should need for the Malame to be Kodesh. This is where that Machlokas appears, says Rashi. Okay, so anyway, according to Rav Papa, therefore, we do have a Raya that you can actually learn out, Egzereshava to a Hekesh. Now we get to number 6 out of the 16. Can Egzereshava teach through another Egzereshava? How about that? Can it teach something else through another Gzereshava? Amar Rabbi Chama, Amar Rabbi Bar Chama, let me give you a clear raya. It says in the Braita that when we're talking about over here, the Arba Chalos of a Teda. Okay, so remember, what do you've got? You've got basically Chalos of Matzah. You've got Rikikin of Matzah, meaning that it's not chametz, and you've got chalos of chametz, and you also have revuchos, which means that you take the flour and you put it through boiling hot water first. This is more like you would do with a bagel, and that those are all made out of solas, but it doesn't say solas in all of them. It only says solas in the revucha. So how exactly do we know that there is such a din on every single one? Says the Gemara, since it says the murbechet, the one that was put into hot water, that one has to be made out of solet. From there, we know that the revucha comes solet, and the other things come solet because it uses the word chalot on every single case. Chalot minayin, tamud lomar, chalot, chalot. On each one of the chalot, it uses the word chalot. And therefore, that teaches us they're all supposed to be the same as the chala of the revucha. So, ikriva zevach atodah, chalot matzot, bilulot b'shemen. And this, the solat murbechet, chalot bilulot b'shemen, which it says, Rikikim Atzot Meshuchim B'Shemen. So other than the Rikikin, on every other thing, Chalot Chametz, everything says Chalot. How do we know that even the Rikikin, where it doesn't say Solet and it doesn't say Chalot, how do I know that? I know that from another Gezeirah Shava, because it says Matzot, both on the one that is Chalot Matzot, and it says Matzot on the Rikike Matzot. So you see from there that we can learn from Matzot to Matzot, which is Gzeira Shava, after we've described the first Matzot, because we know that it says Chalot Matzot, and the Chalot Matzot is derived from Revuchim, which are Solet Matzot. So we learn out Solet from Revucha, to Solet B'Chalot Matzot, to Rikike Matzot, where it doesn't say Solet, and there we know also Egzera Shava from Egzera Shava, that teaches us that it all needs to be made out of very fine flour and Solet, which, of course, we're presenting to the Rebbe this morning in honor of the Mazel Tov, with challah, seles, and delicious kinds of, I don't know, the Rebbe didn't daven yet, maybe. I don't know. He davened. Okay. So then we can have a little kiddush, right?
Very flowery language.
Refaim. All right. So what do you see very clearly? One Gezeirah Shava teaches a second Gezeirah Shava. Yeah, except for one big problem, says Ravina, who is having a good time showing that all of these rayas are not good rayas. How do you know that we're learning matzot from the matzot chalot in the story of the Arba Chalos of the Taida? Maybe we're learning matzot chalot where it uses the word of the solet from a mincha ma'afei tanur. It uses exactly the same words. V'chi takriv korban minchat ma'afei tanur. Dig this. Salot, chalot, rikike matzot, b'shuchim b'shemen. So that means we know rikikin are compared to the chalot, And therefore, it's not coming from the chalot that we learned out from the other Gezeirah Shavah at all. It's coming from a place where it says beferish that it has to be of the din of the Milchus Ma'afei Tanur. So therefore, we're talking about a Gezeirah Shavah from the Gezeirah Shavah. And here we're talking about a separate Gezeirah Shavah, a straight Gezeirah Shavah, to the Mincha Ma'afei Tanur Kikin. So this doesn't prove anything. El Amar Rabba, okay, I'll bring you a Raya, all right? It says like this in the Bright Tanya, V'kirbo u'firsho v'hotzi. So there we're talking about the par of the Kohen Mashiach, which is where we start everything. So what does it say over there by the par Kohen Mashiach? It says that or hapar v'kobisoro aroshov alkraav v'kirbo upirsho, and then it says v'otzi et kol hapar mikutz l'machane l'makom tar shefachadash. So look, that means that it mentions separately over here all of those parts. Talks about the skin, and it talks about the basar, and it talks about kirbo upirsho, and then it says take the whole par. So what does that teach us? That all of these things are not cut up, butchered, before we take it out to the Shefach HaDeshen. Malamech Shemotzio Shalem. We have to take it out as a par. Now, you might think, Yochol Yisrafenu Shalem. So you might think we took it out there, and we also do not do Nituach at all. We just burn the whole thing off. Ah, but the problem is, you see, the words Rosho Uchra'av are mentioned over here by the Par Kohen Mashiach, and in the classic din of Karbonis, which is the Oila, the opening Parsha in the entire Vayikra, it says Rosho Uchra'av in that very Pasuk that teaches us the din of Oila, Varchu b'nei Aharon HaKohanim et HaNetachim et HaRosh, so if it's kirbo v'chra'av, that means the same lashon we find by oil. Of course, over there it's talking about on the mizbeach, and over here it's talking about al shefach hadesha. So just like mala lanayet de nituach, so just like the meaning of rosh ochrav by oila is that you had to have butchered it, which is nituach, you've cut it up. Afkana yedei nituach. So too, the par Kohen Mashiach, even though it says to take it out whole because it says it's kol par, it means that after you get there, you have to do nituach before putting it on the Shefach HaDeshen. If that's the case, you might have thought, mala halan behefshet, that's nituach. But the Oila also requires hefshet, which means you have to cut off, you have to skin it before you do the butchering. So afkanam behefshet, you might think that the par has to also be burnt on the Shefach HaDeshen after taking, skinning it, and only then doing the Nituach, Tamud Lomar. That's why the Torah says, V'kirbo upirsho. Huh? Kirbo upirsho, what the heck? What does that have to do with telling me whether you need to skin it or not? Oh, Omer of Papa, it means that just like pirsho b'kirbo, look, it obviously means that the perish is basically the feces that are inside of the body, right? It's all the waste material. We're certainly not going to open that up. That would be disgusting. So when it says pirsho, it means pirsho b'kirbo. It means bring the entire animal, the intestines, just put them on the fire and burn them. So just like there, it means without cutting them up. Kach b'saro ba'oro. It's comparing the basar to the pikirbo v'pirsho. So it talks about b'saro ba'oro. So then it means also the same thing is true about pirsho b'kirbo. Now, here's where my proof is. B'tanya, Rabbi Omer, that the same way that it says, Ne'emar Kan, it says, by Yom HaKippurim, the par and sar of Yom HaKippurim, it says, or Ubasar, uperesh. There it says, Vepara chatat ve'et se'ira chatat asher huvat amam lechaper bakodesh, yotzia michutz l'machane v'sarfu be'esh. You listen to these things. Et orotam ve'et b'saram ve'et pirsham. Same exact language. So it says those words by both the par and the sawyer of the Yom HaKippurim, which are brought bifnim, which need to be burnt, And it says the same language by the Bar Kohen Mashiach. V'nemala alan or ubosar v'perash. So, just like that, that's what we were talking about in the first part. So, malahala, just like we explained over there 2 minutes ago, that the Bar Kohen Mashiach has to be first done by having a butchering, nituach, but without doing a skinning, that we learned out. First, the butchering we learned out from Eilah. Afkan, the same thing is true of the Parvasir of Yom HaKippurim. They need to be done. Ayyidei nituach, shalo behefshe. Now, wait a second over here. Rebbe just took Gzeira Shava to learn out the dinim from the Kohen Mashiach to the Parvasir of Yom Kippur, even though we only knew the din of the Par Kohen Mashiach out of the Eilah from Gzeira Shava. That shows that Gzeira Shava can teach as Gzeira Shava. So that answers our question. Obviously, Adova Alamed Gzeira Shava can be Malamed through a Gzeira Shava. Okay, so that was number 6 out of the 16. So we've been through Hekesh to Hekesh. We've done through Hekesh to Gzeira Shava. We've been through Hekesh to Kal V'chomer. We've been Hekesh to Binyan Av. And then we started with the second set. Gzeira Shava to Hekesh. Gzeira Shava to Gzeira Shava, which is what we just did. Which brings us to the next item, which would be number 7. And that is, can a Gezerah Shava teach something through a Kal V'chomer? Davra Lamed B'Gezerah Shava, Mao Shielam made B'Kal V'chomer. Well, that's a Kal V'chomer, isn't it? I mean, if a Hekesh, now look, a Hekesh has got a rough time teaching you another step, because a Hekesh can't teach through itself, can't be Malamed to a Hekesh. And we knew that either from Rava or from Ravina. Rava learned it out from where? Kasher Yuram Mishor Zevach HaShelamim. Ravina learned it out from where? The fact that we needed to compare the Asham both to the Chatas and the Eilah to teach me that we wouldn't have been able to learn it out of the Chatas alone. From there, we learned Ein Lemeidin Hekesh Behekesh. So a Hekesh cannot teach from a Hekesh, which we know either through Rava or Ravina. But nonetheless, we showed from the Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael that a Hekesh can be Malamed with a Kal V'chomer, because he made a Kal V'chomer of two species that are this, if you have the same species, out of a case of two different species of the Parvasoy of Yom HaKippurim. So that meant that a Hekesh is, it's easier to teach through a Kal V'chomer than through itself. A Gezeira Shava is so powerful and easy to teach, it can even teach through a Hekesh, which we just proved from Rav Papa. If we don't worry about going according to the Melamed, and we learn it out from the Lamad, so let's assume that. So we knew that from Rav Papa, so then for sure, it could, for sure, if a Hekesh could teach through a Kal V'chomer, then obviously, a Gezeira Shava can teach you a Kal V'chomer. Ha ha. True, true. But only if you have the Papa. That was Ravina. What about Marzutra? Marzutra said, no, you have to go according to the Melamed. And the Melamed over there was Chulin. So therefore, it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. So we don't know that. Michael Amimar. So how are we going to prove our Kal V'chomer from a material that itself has not been proved according to Marzutra? Okay, I'll make a different Kal V'chomer that doesn't require Marzutra's case. Okay, here's another Kal V'chomer to prove that you could definitely use a Gzeira Shava to teach with a Kal V'chomer. All right, listen to this Kal V'chomer. A Hekesh cannot be Malamed Behekesh, right? We learned that from Rava or Ravina. We just went through that. Nonetheless, that Hekesh that's got a hard time teaching through a Hekesh can nonetheless teach through a Kal V'chomer, as we said before, which we know from the Tana Devei Rebbe Yishmael, who says if two different species have the same din, kol shekein, the same species, the soil of Yom Kippur and the soil of Avodah Zarah has the same din. So the Gezeira Shana, which we proved now from Rami Bar Chama just before, which is not really true, but we're just taking the easy way out. Remember, Rami Bar Chama, he was the one that we said maybe we were learning it out of the Minchas Ma'afei Tanur. So we weren't so happy with Rami Bar Chama. We had to move on afterwards and say, okay, we'll have to bring you a better proof from Rava, because we really couldn't show that the Chalot are from Revucha. Rava learned it out from Rosho Uchra'av, that's learned from Ela, that it does not require the Hefshet, but it does require Nituach, and he applied that to, even though we knew the Parkon Gol from Ela, he applied that to Yom HaKippurim, right? So that was our Raya. Okay, but remember, we've seen many times, and we saw that the Rambam does this as well, based on this, on all of those Gemaras, that in the event that we've got two different limudim, one of them is the simpler limud, or something that we just discussed, we don't go into all of the gory details. We just remind you that we have that limud. So we know that Xavier Shava is definitely Malame through Xavier Shava. Okay, either from Rami Bachomer or from Rava, but the bottom line is that it's a Kavachomer, in a din shetilam ebe kavachomer. So then obviously it's easier to teach through a kavachomer than it is to teach through a gezeira shava, because the hekesh can't do that. Can't be malami by hekesh itself. And the gezeira shava can be malami through itself. So for sure it should be able to malami with a kavachomer. Ha!
Rebbe is saying it's not necessary to change the gersa like the gersa on the side. It's sufficient to leave it like this.
Yes. Yeah, because it's in general, the Gemara is not that makpid on it. Okay, now the next question. So that would settle for us question number 7. How about question number 8? Question number 8 would be the remember, we're talking about all the possible permutations over here. So then that means that the 8th permutation, where we've got our 4th inyan, is dealing with the Mahatzad, the Binyan Av. So can we actually use Gzeira Shava to teach something else through a Binyan Av? Says the Gemara, fascinatingly, we don't know. We don't have any information of that, because there's nowhere that we know of that anybody actually attempted to do that. We have no Kabbalah on that. Okay, so let's move on to the next set. The next set discusses a Devar Lamed B'Kal V'Chomer, which was the 3rd out of the various things we have to figure out. Hekesh, Zereshava, and then we went to Kal V'Chomer, and then we went to Binyan Av. So the 3rd set is now the set of the 4 Kal V'Chomer permutations. So can a Devar Lamed B'Kal V'Chomer, can it be malamed through permutation 1? Through the Hekesh. We always go in that order, right? So we go through the Hekesh, Gzeira Shava, Kal V'Chomer, and Binyan Av. So now that we're on a Kal V'Chomer, we first ask, can the Kal V'Chomer teach with a Hekesh or not? Well, it's a Kal V'Chomer, isn't it? If a Gzeira Shava, we showed that a Gzeira Shava cannot actually teach over here through a Hekesh. So in other words, if you started off with a Hekesh, you cannot learn the that din of the Hekesh from the Gezeira Shava, which we learned from Rabbi Yochanan, that it's Benogea the Tzofin of the Asham, and it's clear that we needed to mention the other cases. So from Rabbi Yochanan, we know that a Hekesh is not Malamed with Gzeira Shava, because as Rabbi Yochanan says, we could have learned out from Kodesh Kodashim, which would have compared the Tzofin by an Asham, and therefore it's clear the Torah didn't let us allow us to rely on that, and we had to learn it out from the special Pasuk, B'makom Asher Yishachet, and so on. So it nonetheless, it Hekesh itself, Melamed Behekesh, so something that is learned from the Gezeira Shava is able to be malamed with a Hekesh. Now that we know from the fact that Rav Papa, which we said before, yeah, it depends. whether you agree with it or not, whether the Lamed is Kodesh or not. But in any event, he learned out from the Achalta Sham and the Shaken Shemo Sham that was, you were able to bring a Shlomim from Meiser, and that was Meiser Dagen, even though it's Chulin, according to Rav Papa, that didn't matter. And that's now applied to a Hekish from Shlomim to Teda. So a Kavachomer, in the case of a Kavachomer, you can learn a Kavachomer from a Hekish, which we know from Tana Deva Rabbi Shmuel. So isn't it a Kavachomer that it should be able to be Melamed from a Hekish? So in other words, it's reasonable that something that was learned from a Kavachomer is able to be Melamed through a Hekish. Because look, if you're looking at how it is that we're going to make that limud, right? So a kavachomer is a stronger way of being able to pass on a limud than a gzera shava, because something that was learned from a hekesh can use a kavachomer to pass on that din, but it can't use a gzera shava to pass on that din. So if that's the case, then that means that a kavachomer, in order to pass on a din, has to at least be as good as a gzera shava. So if you learned something from a gzera shava, and that is able to be melamed with a hekesh, as we learned from Rav Papa, so then kol shekein, it should be able to teaching with the kavachomer, right? So for sure, it should be able, now the Hekesh should be able, the Kavachomer should teach to the Hekesh. But of course, all of this was dependent on Rav Papa, because we were only able to learn that it's Melamed Behekesh through Rav Papa. But not everybody held according to Rav Papa, because remember, Rav Papa was learning out Shlomim from Meiser Dagon, and Meiser Dagon, Meiser Sheni of Dagon, is Chulin, and therefore was dependent on the Machlokas of whether Bata Lamad Azlinan or Bata Malamid Azlinan. So what if you hold Bata Malamid Azlinan? If you hold Bata Malamid Azlinan, like Marzutra holds, then you can't use a Raya from Rav Papa, because it was a Malamid that was Chulin and not Hegdesh. So then your whole Kavachomer breaks down. Lamanda Leta de Rav Papa Ma'ikala Meimar. You're missing the most important part, because you can't prove that it would be Malamed through Rav Papa. Well, if that's the case, so according to Marzuta, you're right. We don't have any Raya. Whether a Kavachomer can teach through a Hekesh, I don't know. I have to tell you. Take, if you hold like Ravina and his approach and Rav Papa, then everything is fine. Okay, the next question. Can a Dover HaLomed B'Kavachomer be Melamed through a Gezerah Shava? So that's always our next case. So we had our first eight. We had the ninth, Kavachomer through Hekesh. And then we have the tenth, the Kavachomer through a Gezerah Shava. So can a Kavachomer teach through a Gezerah Shava? Well, it's a Kavachomer. Remember that the Gezerah Shava, you can't learn the Gezerah Shava out of a Hekesh. We know that from Rabbi Yochanan, that a Hekesh is not Melamed with the Gezerah Shava, because if it would be Melamed with the Gezerah Shava, we could have learned out the Din of Tzofain by Asham and learned it out from Chatas from Kodeshei Kodashim. And we don't. So that was clear to us, that a Hekesh is not Melamed with Gezerah Shava. But nonetheless, a Gezerah Shava can be Melamed through a Gezerah Shava, which we know through Rami Bar Choma, which, as we pointed out before, Rami Bar Choma wasn't really the way we ended up being happy. We ended up being happy by Rava, because Rami Bar Choma was learning out of Chalos Solas, and the Chalos Solas might have been a reference to the Mincha Ma'afei Tanur. Look, I notice that we've got a lot of those old-fashioned telephones here on the screen. At least that's what I thought they were. I see now that their eyes going around in circles, but I don't see that well. So it looked like old-fashioned telephones. So if you're getting a little overwhelmed, That's what I said. Take a piece of paper. Make sure that each one of those limudim are written down in order so that you can remember Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yishmael and Rav Papa and Ravina Marzutra, who talk about Rav Papa, and then the difference between the Rami Bar Choma limud and the Rava limud. This is enough to drive anybody crazy unless you've got it all there in front of you. Okay, so our next question here is, again, can a kal vechomer be? There were, oh, now I lost track of where I'm up to. I was doing kal vechomer from a hekesh, right? Can a kal vechomer be malamed with gzeirah shavah? Right. All right. So we're making a kal vechomer if a gzeirah shavah, which is learned out from a hekesh, doesn't work, as Rabbi Yochanan proved, but a gzeirah shavah is still strong enough to teach through a gzeirah shavah from Rami Bar Choma or from Rava. So a kal vechomer, which you can learn out of a hekesh, because remember, that was Rabbi Yishmael, who was learning from the original hekesh of the Par Kohen Mashiach, the Par Halam Dover Shal Tzibur, and he applied that to the Sirei Yom HaKippurim as a kal vechomer, so then eino din shetelamed b'gzeirah shavah. So for sure, something that itself is learned out of a kal vechomer should be able to be melamed through a gzeirah shavah. Because what is the stronger way of teaching to something else? As we saw, the kal vechomer is stronger, because anything that's learned from a hekesh can be used to apply that hekesh, but a gzeirah shavah cannot be used to apply that hekesh. So therefore, that should mean that a kal vechomer is at least as strong as a gzeirah shavah. So if something that I know through a gzeirah shavah can transfer that knowledge to another gzeirah shavah, certainly it should be able to transfer something that was learned through a kal vechomer should be able to be transferred to a gzeirah shavah, because kal vechomers in general are stronger in their ability to transfer. This is a fascinating kind of kal vechomer, okay? But lamaisa, it works out beautifully. So we can use a kal vechomer from the given dinim so far to teach what the din is of the kal vechomer. Now I got another question, and this brings us to the penultimate kal vechomer possibility over here, and that is, can a dover belamed be kal vechomer teach something else through a kal vechomer? Well, that itself is a kal vechomer, because if a gzeirah shavah, and we saw gzeirah shavah cannot be learned out from a hekesh, because a hekesh can't teach through a gzeirah shavah, which we proved from Rabbi Yochanan, but we know that it can be malamed through a kal vechomer, like we saw before. So a kal vechomer, which can actually be learned out from a hekesh, that was our upfront. We knew that from the Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. That was item number 3. And we said over there that Rabbi Yishmael has a Kabbalah that he can utilize a kal vechomer on something that had been derived from a hekesh. So for sure, it should be able to teach to another kal vechomer, because kal vechomers are much more powerful and they should be able to teach things. So if I learned it through a gzeirah shavah, then it certainly, if I had learned it through a kal vechomer, if even a gzeirah shavah could teach a kal vechomer, so certainly a kal vechomer can teach a kal vechomer. So this is a kal vechomer ben kal vechomer. We learn out from those first kal vechomers, we learn out that first din, and then we've got a ben kal vechomer, because the etzem din that a gzeirah shavah can teach through a kal vechomer, which is part of what we're using over here, we only knew that through a kal vechomer. So then that means this is the son of something that was already known through a kal vechomer. Says the Gemara, now wait a minute, this is not the son of a kal vechomer, this is a grandson of a kal vechomer. And I don't know if the dinim of lamad ben alamad even apply to grandchildren. Maybe they only apply to children. So this is a ben benarshal kavachomer hu. So how do you know you have a right to do that? Where do we see that? First thing that we brought a kavachomer was that a gzeirah shava could teach to a kavachomer. Then we came along to teach that a kavachomer can itself teach to a kavachomer. And then what we learned is that the kavachomer itself, we learned from there, can teach through that other kavachomer. But that means I need two kavachomers in order to get to this third kavachomer. So isn't that a grandchild of a kavachomer? Do I have a right to even learn it from a grandchild? Okay, fine. So I'll change it a little bit. I'll make it a different kavachomer. And then it'll only be a ben kavachomer. And then it won't be a grandchild. Here, let me say it like this. It's a kavachomer because of the following. A hekesh cannot be malamid with a hekesh. We saw that from either Rava or Ravina about repeating chatas and Ela and the mokum of shchita for an asham, or Rava's din kasher yura mishor zavach hashlamim. Okay, so that was a given. That was our very first given, that ain hekesh malamid behekesh. But that same hekesh was able to be malamed from a kavachomer. That was permutation 3, which we learned out in the Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael, who learns out the dinim of the two seirim from each other, from the kavachomer, that you can even learn parvaser of Yom HaKippurim from each other, though they're separate species. And so we know that. So then if you're talking about a kavachomer, and a hekesh can teach through a kavachomer, which we know from the Tanei Devei Rabbi Yishmael. So a kavachomer, which is learned from a hekesh, is more easy to teach, and therefore, for sure, it should be able to teach through another kavachomer, en odin shi'elamed bekavachomer. So this doesn't require two separate kavachomers before. It only requires one. So that is a kavachomer, which is a child of a kavachomer. It's one generation away. Because what made the problem was that we were bringing it before that Gzeira Shava can teach through a kavachomer, which we only knew through a kavachomer. Okay, so we don't go to that. But instead, we bring it on things that we know without a kavachomer, and that a hekesh can be teaching through a kavachomer. I don't know that through a kavachomer. I know that because Rabbi Yishmael said he has a kabbalah in that direction. So we're not basing it on two kavachomers. So that would be zeu kavachomer ben kavachomer. Now the question is, the last permutation of kavachomer would be, can a kavachomer teach through a mahatzat? Right? It's always the last one. Is hekesh, Gezeira Shava, Kavachomer, and Binyan Av, right? Ma'atzah. So we've done Hekesh through a Hekesh, Hekesh through a Gezeira Shava, Hekesh through a Kavachomer, Hekesh through a Binyan Av, which we didn't have any answer to, Gezeira Shava through a Hekesh, Gezeira Shava to a Gezeira Shava, Gezeira Shava to a Kavachomer, and Gezeira Shava through a Binyan Av. Those were 8. And then we went on to Kavachomer. A kavachomer to a hekesh, a kavachomer to a gzeira shava, a kavachomer to a kavachomer, which was our kavachomer benoshel kavachomer. And now we get at last to permutation number 12, and that is the kavachomer through a binyan av. Come on, guys. You've got to look at this as fun. It's really great. Ay, ay, ay. It's really hard to be losing your audience.
I'm wondering how to translate this so that Tel Aviv University can appreciate that there's an alternative system and the Mesorah, right? It's really fascinating through those eyes.
Okay, so let's see. Do we have any proof? I'm going to be Amir. Well, I got a proof. Suppose the Kohen does Malik, and it turned out that the oath that he did, the Torah, the Ben Yonah, that he did the Malika to, turns out to have been a Trefa. Now the question is it able to be Metame Ben Nevela? Since it's an Ov Tahar, it would only be Metame Nevela if it was eaten. But if it were eaten, would it be Metame or not? All of these nice images. So lovely. It really gets your blood moving. I mean, it's amazing. I've got this testosterone pills here. Maybe I'll take 4 or 5 of them, you know. Maybe that would help. I don't know if anything's going to help. Oh, there we go. Okay. A little bit of action here. Now, Richie, you're putting me to sleep. Give me that Richie smile. Oh, get it. Go back and hide in your Titanic. You're getting out of hand. Listen, guys, I want to take up a public-funded rocking chair for Richie. You know, and anybody, it comes along also with a nurse, and it's like a whole big thing.
Anybody, Richie's off his rocker.
Crowdfunding, please, for Richie's rocker. Okay. We're not going to put up with this much longer, Richie. We're going to have somebody else to do the work. Well, we can't have, like, an automaton giving us the work.
It'll have to have intravenous feeding as well.
Yes, intravenous feeding attached to your rocking chair. So
I won't even have to ever move from it.
There we go.
Set up a whole system of diapers and everything.
You can also attach your brain to some mushrooms, a constant...
Brain? What brain?
Oh, there you go. Man,
it's
oh,
gone, it's gone.
This is very disappointing, Richie. I'm back. We need our Richie. Okay, it's no joke. It's one of the fundamental issues of aging is your attitude about your own aging, as you know. Since you've made up your mind that you're old, which is ridiculous. Anybody who looks at you, your hair isn't even gray yet. What are you telling me you're old? So you're just getting started on getting old. We got people half your age here who've got more gray hair than you. So therefore, you are clearly a youngster. There we go. Okay, so here is my proof. Now, remember, the din usually is, the truth is that when it comes to shechita, and shechita, bechulin, let's talk about bechulin, you find out that a behema that you shechted was actually a treifa. If you shechted it, our psak halacha is that lemaisa, it is not mitame, because shechita is mitayer midei nevela. So, according to Rebbe Meir, the terms of the halacha, we're not going to bring up all these shechitas here, but halacha lemaisa, Rebbe Meir holds that either shechita of chulin or malika of kachim are both metayer mitumas nevela, even though obviously you can't eat it and you can't put it on the mizbeach. And Rebbe Yossi holds that shechita works for chulin, but malika does not work to do the same thing for kachim. And Rebbe Yehuda holds that actually shechita does not work for chulin and malika does not work for kachim. So there's really three shechitas in terms of the ikar din that we're talking about over here in Meseches Chulin. But now we're going to quote only this question of where would Rebbe Meir know this halacha, that if you do malika, then it's not going to be metame if you eat it. Rebbe Yehuda says it will be metame, the Beis Habliya. But of course, Rebbe Yehuda holds that even Shechit of Chulin is not Mataya. So Amar Rebbe Meir, I'll tell you, it's a Kal Vachomer. If a Nivlas Behema, which has a very Chomer Tuma, and it can be Matame you if you just touch it, or if you just carry it and you don't even come into contact with it. Nonetheless, despite that tough Tuma, if you shechted it, the Shechita is actually Mataya you. It takes away the din of Tumas Nevela that would normally have been true of a treifa that's inedible, and you think that that means that the shechita is bechlal, not called a shechita. It's not true. A shechita is called a shechita, even though it's a shechita. This is a whole question of shechita she'ena ru'uya, and the shechita is not mater be'achila, which Rebbe Yehuda says if it's a shechita that doesn't matter b'achila, it's shechita she'ena ru'uya is lav shma shechita, but Rebbe Meir holds it is shma shechita. And therefore, it will be enough, even though you can't eat it, because it's still a treifa, but it's not going to become an avela. So that last transition between treifas and avelas, the shechita saves you from. A nivlas oaf, where there's no tuma whatsoever on a nivlas oaf tahar, by touching it or by carrying it, there's only one possible way that it would be metame, and that is only by eating it. So therefore, enodin, it's a very light tuma compared to the tuma of nivlas behema. So let's say we were talking about a chicken, and we were talking about chulin, and the chicken turns out to be trefa. Would the shechita definitely would be metayer the chicken, says Rabbi Meir? Yes, it would. Ah, then let's move on to discuss the din of Malika. Ma matzino b'shechita, that would be machsheret a chulin chicken ba'achila, and it would, in a case where it's a trefa and it's not matar ba'achila, it's metayer the trefa from tuma. So the malika of kachim, which generally makes the bird kosher for the kohen to eat, correct? Because as we saw before, the kohen is going to be the one that eats the basar of the chatas ha'of. So if the malika is kosher for eating, the same way that shechita of a bird of chulin is kosher for eating, so then ma matzinu, that the shechita of a chicken is metayer midei the tuma. So therefore, the malika, which works in the same way, shemachshar tabachila, titaher, trefata, mitumata. So therefore, it should actually be able to be metayer. How do you like that? Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, look, the nivlas, it's not going to be better. We should learn it out from the nivlas behema. Shechita is metayer a nivlas behema, right? Meaning, if you're doing a normal shechita, but you can't do malika, so therefore you can't learn the din like you did. If Rabbi Meir is saying that you're going to have a kal v'chomer that is going to end up teaching as a binyan av, then you end up teaching something that violates dayo. Because you started with the din of a nivlas behema tahira, and that told you only that shechita is metayer, not malika. So how can you learn out here to malika? Because ultimately you're using a kal v'chomer teaching through a binyan av that even something that wasn't known in the first place we can now derive. How could you do that? Anyway, but the bottom line is, what does Rabbi Meir say? Ha-ha, a kal v'chomer can teach through a binyan av. So first we learn that you could certainly be metayer the shechita. We could be metayer a chicken. And if that's the case, it's a binyan av, that we can be metayer a bird for the mizbeach, which would be torim of neona, not chickens, obviously. But it would still apply that it would not be mitameh if the kohen went ahead and ate it. So there's your raya. A kal v'chomer can teach through a binyan av, which our handy does not exactly like. Speak up, dear handy.
So I'm finding this whole thing very perplexing. because we started off by saying very grandly, with kadshe mei melamdim min alamed. And then it turns out that we mostly do. And the only times that we don't is like a hekesh min hekesh and a couple of, you know, some very specific cases. But in generally, we do. But why would we say that? Why don't, who gives the, we proved that from Sukkim in the Torah, where we have.
Oh, no. We didn't prove it from Sukkim in the Torah. We proved it from the fact that we had a Kabbalah that we should be derish those Sukkim in that way.
So it's all based on Kabbalah.
In other words, the idea is that in the same way as we talked about this before, in the same way that Kachim is very different because we see it as being an indication of how to be Oved. But again, I mean, I mean this, you know, Kevayochol, obviously I don't Chas v'Shalom mean it that way, but the same way we have a concept in English of beggars can't be choosy, right? So if that means if I'm asking you to do something for me, so I don't assume that I'm laying down the law, and if you don't do it this way, then the hell with you, I don't want it. I mean, that's not appropriate. So that means that we look at all of the given dinim when it comes to kachim, kivayachol, as something, and this is only because of the depths of the understanding of Chazal, that the nature of kachim bichlal is the idea of the tzorech gavoa kivayachol, as Ramban explained, the Rabbeinu Bachi explains. So we're bringing it the same way that bracha we also understand is a tzorach gavoah. Now, therefore, tefillah is the same way. The interrelationship between Adam and HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Yisrael is a relationship specifically of lovers. I pointed out, this is the Haftorah that we just had this week. This is the Zera Avram O'Avi, and therefore you have the privilege of being Avadai. Nobody else has that privilege. But that means that when I ask you something, it's as lovers. It's a Zera Avram O'Avi. And so Mimela, our understanding up front is correct, as Moshe Reuven just pointed out. It was a grand statement. Ein lamedim lamad min alamad, because that is a grand statement. It's the statement that is the equivalent of Bekachim eino ma'akev atcher shana ba'akatuv. It's the same level of grand statement, because it's a given through the nature of Kachim. Now, do we have a Kabbalah of where it's applicable? Yes, wherever we have a Kabbalah, we'll learn from it. So if we know that Rabbi Yishmael himself taught us that you can use a Kal v'chomer from a Hekesh, fine, that's enough of a raya for me. And if we find clear indications that no, the Torah went out of its way to say, don't do this, so then we know that those things are definitely not. Those are the Hekesh issues, because they actually were supplied not just by the grand proclamation, but by actual examples. That ain't lamedim hekesh ben hekesh. That's why we love to bring them. And the ain't davram lamed hekesh, ain't lamed bigzera shava. If the Torah goes out of its way to teach it to you, then they become wow. That's like the prime examples. But the yisod remains the same. And wherever we find a raya that we actually, someone had a Kabbalah to make this limud, like Rabbi Shmuel did, so then we say, oh, okay. Clearly, this is a raya that it doesn't apply in this case. That's all that we're doing. But you're 100% correct.
So all these shitot are they're Kabbalahs that we got from way back. They're not the individual shita. Okay.
No.
Thank you.
The only thing that is a raya to the Kabbalah is the Ravina, Rava, and Rabbi Yochanan, and that part where we actually were able to be beautifully medayik from a pasuk, but the pasuk went out to force us to recognize.
Right.
Yeah, so it's actually a very wonderful kind of insight, because all part of the depths of the being immersed in the chokhmah of Kachim, as we spoke about at the beginning of the Masechet. And that's why it's so important to let go and to allow the richness of the various elements that are so many different dinim that are just flying around in your head. And the Gemara is trying to do this to you. So what I talked about before, about having your eyes going around in circles, I mean, in a sense, that's really the whole point. You're supposed to actually feel that you're just like in that octopus movie, that you're walking through some kind of living chokhmah, which everything is interacting with everything else in these strange ways, in which you're surrounded by fields of understandings of the influence of a various carbon and so on. And that allows you to be changed by it. And it actually changes the way that your brain perceives chokhmah in general. So it's an incredible limud, this vachim. But you must allow yourself to live in it instead of like trying to, work it all out, keep track. This is this, this is that. Nothing is anything until it's the whole thing. And that's the beauty here of the chokhmah. But anyway, so this seems to show that a Kal v'chomer actually teaches through a Binyan Av. However, says the Gemara, we need to be honest. And it really, v'lohi, this really is not even true. I'll tell you why it's not true. Because even though Rabbi Meir says it like this, but again, as we've seen before, there are times where we have a limud, and when you're responding to somebody who's arguing with you, you respond with what's right in front of you and the easiest way to make a response. But the truth is that Rabbi Meir didn't really depend on the Binyan Av that he says. That was the response that he was making. But the reality is that we're going to see later on that when the Torah talks about in the Dinim of Kashrut, Zot, that it uses the Lashon specifically, Zot Torata Behema Vehaof V'chol Nefesh Achaya Romeset B'mayim. That is a Hekesh that the Torah makes. that the dinim of behema and oaf are the same, that he uses that to tell me the din of malika and its comparison to shrita, because that's what the psukim were referring to. There were the kashas of achnila. So even though he said it this way here, the truth is he was not really using a binyanav. He was using a hekesh that actually takes malika and says malika is shrita. But I got to tell you something. Tahavihi means even if it would be. I said velohi. Right? It's the he is not he. But to have a he, let the he be he. Let's pretend for a moment that Rabbi Meir really meant exactly what he said. But just remember one thing, that the actual Malika, the Moker of the Halacha, was based on the Shechita of Chulin. So then that complicates matters even more, because Shechita's Chulin would be that the Malamed is Chulin, and because of that, it could be that this whole thing has nothing to do with Lamad Min HaLamad if you hold you go according to the Malami, right? It would be the same question that Marzutra had on Rav Papa. And so it could be that whatever Rabbi Meir says is completely irrelevant, you know, because if you hold a Marzutra, then this has nothing to do with our entire sugya. Tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, we will move on to the last of the 16, the last four, and that will bring us to the question of how a binyan av is melamed. Whew, fascinating. Okay, it's wonderful. Requires maybe a little bit of chazara, but it isn't really complicated. Just you have to keep all of the elements in mind, and then it's really straightforward.